From South Baptist Church in Lansing, Michigan, here's Dr. Howard F. Sugden, our senior pastor, to share with you his morning message of January 24th, 1988, entitled, Call for Advance. Pastor Sugden.
I want you to turn with me today to the Epistle to the Philippians. If you are here today for the first time, we have been studying these past mornings Paul's prison prayers. There are four of them. There are many of his recorded prayers. Usually they are prayers about 6 or 8, 10 words long. These are his long prayers. We have had the two in Ephesians. We are looking at the one in Philippians this morning. And we will have Colossians next Lord's Day. They are of great value to us because they're prayers that are prayed for us, as well as the recipients of the letter the first time. So let's pray. Father, make your word come to life this morning. Thank you for the Gideons and for the thousands upon thousand pieces of literature they give away. May they fall in good hands and hearts and bless that work. Thank you for bringing our brother here with us today for his long life and his great work. In Jesus' name, now bless your word. Amen. We sang a remarkable hymn this morning. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant, the hymn writer said. Did you ever try to put together in your mind and in your heart the hymns that we sing about this? Take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. More like the Master would I live and grow. Hymns were written out of the longings of hearts. That's how they happened to be written. Somebody didn't say, I just had a little ditty that popped into my empty mind, and I will write something. Somebody has been meditating, thinking, praying. And they've written down, and I sing them. I sing them because what they wrote about, I sing about. Because it's my life like it is your life. We sing, take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. Now, the strange thing about it is this. Why do we sing them anyway? Well, you say that's the way we feel. I grant you. Why do you feel that way? The answer is that you feel that way, and your emotions are turned that way, and your longings are turned that way is because God has done something in your life. When the old Sankey hymnal was written, which is one of the great hymnals, I mention it. Someday I'll bring mine down and show it to you. It's worn out almost. I have two or three. But the wonderful thing is that when you come to this section in that hymnal that deals with the longings of people's hearts, you have any idea how many hymns are in that section? Well, you say 50 maybe, Pastor. 360-some hymns of men of all caliber from all times writing and saying, this is the way I feel when I am with myself. Why? Because as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a part of you that longs for that. Hold your finger in Philippians and go with me quickly to 2 Peter. You will do it. You already found it. Right after 1 Peter. Profound, profound. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Maybe you don't mark your Bible, but you should. According as his divine power, but put a circle around the word divine, we'll find it again. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Just think how inclusive this is. He's given to us all things that have to do with our Christian life and with godliness. They're available for me. They're available for me this morning. All things. Now look now. Life and godliness. How does it come to us? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I was thinking the other day, I would like to sit down and read at one time, if I could, the 200 or 300 or 400 volumes that I have on the person of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of him. How do you get the knowledge of him? From his word. What is he like? His word. Now note what happens. Whereby are given unto us in his word the knowledge of him, given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. This is sacred. And the word partaker is a word we don't use much, but it is a word. He said, did you know that when you believed in Jesus Christ, you became a share of God's nature? So that the difference between your life as a Christian and Joe Doakes or John Blow or Jim Up, who is just a casual person in the world, is that you have another nature. That's what makes the difference. The night I was saved, I couldn't have cared less when I walked into that little meeting house for prayer and the Bible or anything else, except I was going to a meeting house, and I little knew what was going to take place in that meeting house that night, that my buddy would be saved because I walked down that aisle and he saw me go, and we had, our lives had been so linked together in life and in death practically, that as I walked down the aisle, he followed me. By the way, he's still alive, lives over at Pontiac, Michigan. He's still alive. The two of us, he stood there and was saved at the same time, the same little meeting. I went out of that house and went home and for the first time in my life prayed. You say, well, where'd you learn to pray? I didn't have to learn. There was something in me that wanted to cry out and say thanks for what you've done for me and rescued me. I don't know what this all means, but I believe in you. And the next day I found out I had an appetite for the Bible. When my father was reading during morning devotions, I was kicking my kid brother under the table. Well covered by tables and tablecloths. So no one knew, but my father always wondered why my brother was flinching during prayer. And I was a flincher. But I prayed. I have a new nature. And it is the new nature that says, I want to take time to be holy. Now I want to be like him. Why? Because I have a new nature. That's the reason you feel the way you feel this morning. That's what gets you out of bed on a Lord's Day morning, even when it's cold and even when it's snowing and even when the storm is on, you make your way to the house of God and meet with God's people, is because there has been given to you a new nature. We are sharers of the very nature of God. Now, the desire that Paul is expressing in this particular passage in Philippians chapter 1, where we will be in a moment, he is expressing this because he has a new nature too. And we're in Philippians 1. Now this is rather an amazing thing, that we can turn this morning and see for a moment passing, just a moment passing, the makeup of the Philippian church. You don't have it in Colossians. You do not have it in Galatians. You do not have it in Ephesians. But here is one little short epistle in which we are privileged as a church today to look back and see the kind of folk who were the first members of the church. What kind of people did God have to work with in that first church? How does it happen that he can say to them, I want you to press forward. He said, I want you to honestly increase in all this. Let's look a moment at the membership and then we'll come back. Hold your finger in Philippians. It's a wonderful way to read your Bibles with fingers. Acts 16. Go with me rapidly. Acts 16. And from thence, verse 12, they went to Philippi. Then he describes the city. Notice what happened at Philippi. They went out at the riverside. They didn't have a church. There were no church buildings then. They didn't have a tabernacle, a meeting house. There were people meeting by the riverside on a Lord's day. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. She was the first member of the church. Just think, the church in a whole new arena. And this is the first one. This is a church in Europe. First member of the church. Who was she? A lady. What was she? She was a seller of purple. What did that mean? It means that she was a lady of comparative wealth. Today she would have pulled up with her Lincoln Continental. When she stepped out of the car, you'd have said, oh, wow! Lydia's here this morning. They'll show you the shop over there. They still have the shop that Lydia ran. You can go over and see it. I believe it is the same shop. Lucille and I visited it. I could almost see her there. And Lydia now is a Christian. She's a Christian businesswoman. And Paul said, I want you to increase and grow. Be a better Christian all the time. Well, who's the next one? Next member of the church. Verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to pray, a certain damsel, a young lady, a little girl, whatever you want to say it, possessed with a spirit of divination. She was a spirit, she was a girl that was demon controlled. She becomes a second member of the church. Not off to a very auspicious beginning. Well, we're batting at least 500. Got a real good one and a real bad one. God levels them, brings them in. Now he's going to get the next one. Paul and Silas find themselves in prison, and at midnight they sang praises to God. And as they sang in the jail praises to God, God said, that is utterly great, you fellas down there in that jail praying and singing glory songs in jail where there's filth and vermin, and out there sits the old man who runs the warden of the prison. I love wardens. When I was in Jackson, I used to go to the Jackson prison many, many times. When Mrs. Sugden and I went to Jackson the first time, a lovely, gracious lady came to me that first morning, quietly laid her hands, her tender hands on my shoulders and said to me, could I ask you to do something for me? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, ma'am. She said, my husband is the deputy warden of Jackson Prison. She said, he never comes to church. He doesn't have any time for God. She said, he runs that prison with an iron hand. You know how he disciplined? He walked down the aisle. Somebody had done wrong. He grabbed the fellow by the neck and spit in his face. You don't like to have people do that to you. He was a feared man, Deputy McCoy. She said, would you go and see him? I went to see him. I realized how big he was. I had to hug him in sections. I could hug him halfway around, then I'd go around the other side and hug him the rest of the way. And so I started hugging Deputy. When he was home, I used to go out and just stop and see them so I could see him. And then you know what happened. One day he got saved. That caused a revolution in Jackson Prison more than anything. He went back out of that prison, went to the men that whose faces he had spit upon, asked them to forgive him, told him what had happened in his life. You know how he was saved? Just like that jailer. 1900 years apart, and the message had not changed, thank God. We didn't preach the gospel with little ads to it. It's like this plus. It is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. No other way. The old deputy was saved. I'll never forget the day we buried him. I buried him. The gospel is a great word, and here the church is born. And Paul is writing to these believers. What is he saying to them? Let's notice what he says. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. He says, there are four things I ask that you may have increase in your life. First of all, I'd like to have your love increase. Now, how practical this is. Can you imagine? Here in the church at Philippi, you have three charter members. A deputy a warden of the prison, a little demon-possessed girl, and a lovely, lovely lady. And they are going to be responsible for that church spreading. How do you do it? Your love increases for people. Now, I wish I knew how to say this, because I think we do well with this. I really do. I go to churches. Most of the churches, you know, you get in, they have for their text, many are cold and few are frozen. Not called and chosen, but cold and frozen. I would like to feel that no person would ever come inside of South Baptist Church that would be unnoticed. Did you speak to somebody this morning? I'm just asking you. I'm talking about myself now. Well, you say you're the pastor. That's what you get paid for. Oh, is it? I'm a Christian. And I'm a part of a church family. And how are folk going to be brought into any relationship at all unless the folk who are part of that family care and concern themselves? He said, I pray that your love may increase more and more and more, that you grow. That you go out of your way to be kind to people. You go out of your way to be nice to people. I'm talking about the church. Talk about the church. I heard an old fellow say once, he said, the preacher preached on, will we know each other in heaven? He said, my great question was, will we know each other on the back seat? That's pretty true. We talk about things, but down where we live, he said, your love would increase for each other more and more and more. Isn't it great to belong to a church like that, where they dare to care for each other? Even somebody that you don't know, how will you get to know them unless you speak to them? How will they get to know you? How will you feel a part of a congregation? He said, I want your love to increase more and more. The Lord Jesus said, by this, if I had a little badge, I'm not a badge maker nor a badge wearer. I don't object to badges being on your lapels. But he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have, next word class, love one for another. Somebody cares for you. Somebody cares for you. And they like to come back. I have folk who come, I'm sure that, well, I won't say, but I'm sure folk come because you are kind to them. You welcome them. You love them. Turn with, did you know there's a 1 John 3:16? There's a John 3:16, but did you know there was a 1 John 3:16? The 1 John 3:16 is almost an outflow of the John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. How do I know God loved me? Because there's a cross on a hill. How do people know that I care for them when I'm willing to extend myself for them? No strings attached. No, I hope you'll grease my palm with a buck. No politics in this. Oh, I don't like politics in churches. Not doing it for political things. I'll do this because somebody will do this. No, we love each other. Look again in chapter 4, verse 7. Isn't this a great word? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. He said one of the evidences that you belong to Him is that you care for His people. And Paul writes to this early church in Philippi with his strange collection of people. He said, I'd like to have you get to love one another more and more. Now let's take the next one. He prays we'll increase in love. The next is that we will increase in discernment in verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment. That's the New King James Version. And by the way, the New American Standard Version says, it translates it, judgment is discernment. This knowledge and discernment linked together. Knowledge has to do with principles. All the Bible is full of principles, all the way through, filled with principles. Discernment is the application of truth. So it's very interesting that discernment in the Old Testament and in the New Testament has to do with smells. Things smell good. My mother could always tell how the meal was coming by the way it smelled. Did you know that in the Old Testament, God gave a rule for priests and preachers? No man could be a priest that had a short nose. You'd make it all right, Fred. I did. I did too. I made it all right. Smell. If you couldn't smell, you couldn't be a priest in the house of God in the Old Testament. Leviticus 21 describes all the things you have to have. You have to have a long nose. Why? Because you have to be able to discern truth. And when I think of what's happening in the Muslim world today and how our dear England that I love, because my family came from there, is being swallowed up by the Muslims because nobody seems to smell anything anymore. And because we don't smell things, we're gullible. We eat anything. That's not the way you do it. The Word of God is the Word of God. It says something. It is truth. We accept it as truth. We are not hooked by this passing parade of things and what people teach and this. We say, this is what God says. Somebody said to me the other day, well, that's what you think. I said, that's not what I think. It's what God says. A great deal of difference. I ought to think like God thinks. But sometimes I'm thinking something that God just walks in and knocks it for a loop. And I have to say, oh, God is doing it. He said, I want you to grow. This little church is going to be on that peninsula and it's going to be marching. How's it going to march? It's going to march as they increase in love and as they increase in discernment. Now notice the next one is their increase in sincerity, that you may approve, he says, the things that are excellent. Thirty years ago, my wife, I'm sure she's forgotten this, But 35 years ago, when one of the first translations came out, she bought me a translation. There you had the King James then and the New American Standard that had come out in 1901. This one came out in 1935. And she took our hard-earned money and bought me a new translation because she thought I needed it, which I did. It has a most amazing translation of this, in which it says that you may have a sense of what is vital. Here it says you may approve the things that are excellent. This says that God wants us to grow so that we will be able to sense what is vital or important or those things that should take priority in our lives. Now, my dear friend, that is of tremendous significance today. What is important? I have a holy fear that as I near the gate of heaven, I may have a lot of things knocked out of my hands that I thought was important down here. I think of all the games that, you know what I can do on Friday and Saturday? I could spend my whole Friday and Saturday and Sunday watching football games. You say anything wrong with football? No, I love football. I like to hear them hit each other. Woo! Such a blessing. Especially if I don't like the fellow they hit. That's when it's real good, isn't it? Anything wrong with that? No. It is if it takes priority over the things that God wants me to have priority. You see? So imagine this early church. He's praying that they may have the proper priorities in life. I pray for that more than anything else. That I will not be involved and waste first-class energies on second-class things. I think that's a great danger. That's what he's talking about here. And then notice the last one. Verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, we are to increase in love, he prays, to increase in discernment, then to increase in our sincerity, that we may approve the things that are vital, and then we may increase in fruitfulness. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You go and say all those wonderful words. Gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, all of the fruits. And he said, I'm praying. Now think, just this little handful of people dropped in a strategic place at a strategic hour in history. This was the entrance of the Church of Jesus Christ into Europe. Paul had seen a vision, and he saw a great, great land that needed the gospel, and there was a man standing and saying, come over in the Macedonia and help us. How are you going to get over there? What are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to go out and I'm going to talk to a few people, and they will start a work. And you know where that work has gone? We are here this morning because the Philippian church responded to Paul's prayer. And they gave out the message, and it spread, and there was a spreading flame and the spreading work. And it's gone now around the world. But it started back there in that day because a man prayed and said, I pray that you may increase and increase and increase and increase. There's a lovely old hymn we sing. I never heard it sung in a congregation. But it's a song I'd love to sing for you, but I'm not. This is the first line. O Jesus Christ, grow thou in me, and all things else receive. What a prayer. May God bless us today as His people. And may Paul's prayer for the Philippians be answered through us as a congregation, as it was through that little handful of people that moved out and advanced the work of Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Dear Father, oh dear Father, we can almost hear Paul praying now. He prayed for the Philippians and they responded. And he prays for us. May our hearts respond. May we increase. May we develop. May the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And may folk be turned Godward because we as individuals have come their way for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. Here today, and you are a believer. You may have recently come to our city, but today you say, Pastor, I think I would like to be a part of a great church family. I want to come. We'd like to have you. And it really is a wonderful family. We love each other, care for each other. I don't think there could be a place like it anywhere. You make it that way. You do. If you'd like to be a part of the family, you come. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you do not know the Lord Jesus, you could not be here this morning without feeling a tug on your heart by the Spirit of God. Say, I want to come. I want to be saved. You'll come. Now we're going to sing, My Heart Has No Desire to Stay Where Doubts Arise. All right, let's sing it. My heart... couple who came to become a part of our family. Week by week this happens. We're glad that you're here and thankful for your prayers. Pray for this day in our hearts, won't you? These are great days to be alive. Just think, we're living and dwelling in a grand and awful time. It's a good time to be alive. Pray that God will take us today and increase our love, our concern, our compassion. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for those who have responded this morning. Our own hearts have responded. We pray that you will bless us as your people. We ask that you will be with our offering for the Gideons as we go today, that we will give as unto thee. May your grace now and mercy and peace be ours through Christ. Amen. We're quiet.